good morning, Walt.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Walter.
Great to have you. You're still down in Florida, avoiding the weather up here. Although, Roger, we didn't talk about it. It's a nice day yesterday. It's a nice day today.
I did get on up there. It was still long sleeve day.
Yeah, so, Walt, how much longer will you be in Florida?
Almost Saturday, so I'll be in town next week.
Early in the show, I don't think you were on with us, but somebody, I don't know who it was the president, the principal at Catholic, Mr. Stracely.
Right.
Had sent me a message this week or last week that one of the referees in the game for the next week's Super Bowl went to Catholic High.
I think you said Central earlier.
I did, and then I corrected it. Okay. I did say Central, and then I said Catholic. Catholic High School's name is Ron Torbert, and you say you're buddies with him, right, Walt?
Well, and no, it's not Ron Torbert. Ron Torbert is the referee in the game. The person who graduated from Catholic is Jonah Monroe, and he's the back judge.
Now, wait a minute.
Okay, so this whole thing.
Hold on. So
in the game.
I thought Ron Torbert was from Catholic. Is that not right?
No, it's Jonah Monroe. Ron Torbert is the referee. He's going to be the referee in the game, but he's not. He didn't go to Catholic. Jonah Monroe, the back judge, in the
gotcha.
Game.
Gotcha. I see the name now. Well, I must have I thought he had sent me this graphic, and I see it now. Back judge is Jonah Monroe, but he went to Catholic High, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yes,
gotcha.
When I was in the league, there were four Arkansas people in the league. Three of them actually graduated from the U of A. And Jonah Monroe was one of them. He went to Catholic High, graduated from the University of Arkansas. The other one that's still in the league, James Coleman, whose brother is the basketball coach at Hall High School. He was from Marianna. He played for Holt at Arkansas. But James, he's a field judge in the NFL. He lives in Pennsylvania. And then Tab Slaughter, who's from Lynn, went to Arkansas State. He's also in the league now. So there are three Arkansas-born, raised people that are currently in the NFL.
Does it bother you, Walt? It bothers us that you look on here. Nothing against Jonah. I'm sure he's a good guy, but there he is calling the game, and you never got on the field as a Super Bowl ref. Does it bother you?
Sure. I've always said that, you know, that was obviously the goal if you're an NFL official is to get to work the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And It's one of those things. It's a little more difficult at the referee position because you're so visible. That's the interesting thing. You know, we talked about this. I mean, you didn't even know any of these guys that were from Arkansas that were in the league, but that's because they work positions that they don't call their name.
Correct. That's right.
It's just one of those things. I mean, James Coleman, he's been in the league 20 years. Jonah, he's been in the league 10 years.
Wow. 10 years and he's already in the Super Bowl. That's amazing. Good Lord.
Yeah. You come on our show, Walt. I know I've heard Baz ask you that question probably 300-400 times. So you come on here, we're just going to take salt and rub it right in that open wound. Hey, Walt, do you miss your first puppy dog that died when you were a kid? By the way, just random question.
Just a continuation of the normal abuse that you take if you wear a striped shirt.
That's right.
He's going to pass it off to me to berate you with officiating questions.
Yeah, well, I'm
so Ron Torbert, by the way, Harvard Law graduate.
Okay, so, yeah. Well, and I think Jonah Monroe went to, did he go to University of Arkansas? I can't remember where the principal, Stracely, told me he went to school. I can't recall.
Arkansas, James Coleman went to Arkansas, was in the league, and when I was in the league off, I went to Arkansas. There were three U of A graduates that were in the league at the same time.
Okay, let's dive into the Kansas City game. Obviously, several calls that a lot of people felt that sided with Kansas City. Yeah, I tell you the first one. Let's go back before this was one that we never heard before. This was the play with Philly, right? Philly in Washington, where the Palpably Unfair Act.
Walt, I think that's Rule 12, Section 3, Article 2.
Yeah, you read the Democrat Gazette well, Roger.
That's exactly what I was saying earlier. I'm not trying to hide anything. Boo!
So, Justin, I don't think you were with us Monday when we dove into this thing. You saw that call, right, when they were saying the referee came out there and says, because of this rule, we can award the offense a touchdown if you keep jumping off sides like this or keep, you know, breaking this rule. And I'd never heard of it. And so, Walt, go for it. Have you ever done this in your career?
David, you get into the playoffs and you learn about these obscure rules that nobody knew they existed. One of them used to be called the Tuck Rule. That was an obscure rule that nobody knew. And all of a sudden, everybody knows the rule.
Yes.
It's unbelievable how these things happen in important playoff games. Nobody knows the rule. Fortunately, the officials know the rule.
Right.
And are able to, administer it correctly. But the interesting thing is in the rule book, that particular action that Washington was doing has its own special section in the rule book. It's not actually under a Powell v. Unfair Act. It's actually got its own, and as Roger said, it's in Section 3, Article 2, fouls to prevent score. Exactly what Washington was doing. The defense shall not commit successive or repeated fouls to prevent a score. And the penalty for that is
Walt, is the only application, it would seem, when the ball's like on the 1-inch line and there's nowhere else to go, you can keep doing the penalty. Like, they wouldn't be doing this at the 50, because if they did, obviously you would be at the goal line. You'd be 50 yards down the field with these penalties. But because it's at the goal line, is that why this is applicable here, most likely?
Why it's applicable here, but, David, if they were trying to do something with some other time, like you were at the 50, and they were kept doing that for some reason, obviously you could make it a 15-yard penalty.
Right.
So forth, and like
what
it,
is
like
it,
it
what
was
is it normally, Walt? What is it? What is it?
Like the play the Buffalo had. Kansas City did the same thing, and it wasn't at the goal line. But you could award a 15-yard penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct for making a mockery of the game by jumping off sides all those times to try to prevent the first down.
Would you classify it way, though, because during the Bills game, Tony Romo kept making the point, and I thought rather accurately, that when teams are running sneaks, the only thing defensive linemen can honestly do to try and stop it is time the snap count and jump it and hope they get lucky that they've timed it correctly. So would you interpret it that way, or would you interpret it as they're trying to prevent a score? Because, the only thing Washington can do down there is try and jump the snap. That's the only way to stop that play.
That's what they were trying to do, Josh. They were trying to jump and hit the quarterback before he got a chance to start his forward movement. And so, it's one of those chicken and eggs deal. If he keeps jumping off sides, sure he's trying to stop him, but at some point, you can't just keep doing it. But it's making a mockery of the game. So, sure, that's what they were trying to do is prevent from scoring, because they couldn't stop that.
Well, by the way, we saw the tush push get stopped twice with two different teams. We saw Buffalo get stopped with it, and we saw Philadelphia.
They stopped it, I think, twice.
Tough to stop, but
Buffalo didn't run it like Philadelphia.
That's correct. That's right. They didn't. It's a different kind of.
He gives the defense time to have a little bit
horrible.
Of a push because
yeah.
he goes
yeah.
off to the left side.
Didn't look good. Yeah, it was bad. Bad
so,
call.
That's the thing. That's the difference in the two. The big play in the Kansas City game was the fourth down call. And
What did you think about that if he got the first down? It looked like he got the first down. What do you think?
Well, I did too, and the reason I feel like that, quarterback sneaks are hell on the officials down on the field.
Right.
Because in order to rule for our products, you have to be able to see the ball. You have to know where did the ball get to. And when they run quarterback sneaks, they're down there and they're hiding the ball. And all the players on either side, of the quarterback block the official's view. So those are very – I used to tell people when I worked the line of scrimmage, the most difficult call I had were quarterback sneaks at the goal line.
Right.
Because you can't see the ball.
Right.
And so normally on those kind of plays, you let the official where the ball, the side the ball is facing, mark, get the forward progress. That's how you decide. And so sometimes the officials will be coming in, and they won't be at the same, necessarily at the same spot. But, you know, from looking up above, right, when you have TV cameras, you know, it did appear to me that they got to the line. And the other thing is the most senior official on the, of the two line of scrimmage guys was the one that came in and had it as a first down.
Yeah.
Also, has me, it gives me a tendency to believe that it was a first down.
Are you talking about? Are we talking about the Bills?
Yeah, that's right. That fourth down. Yeah, it certainly looked like it to me, and from one side for sure. And that was it. Listen, that was a big deal. That could have been the game.
I thought it was the difference in the game.
Yeah, it certainly could have been.
That one play.
You're right. It was. It certainly could have been.
It was a huge play, and you know, replay came down because I mean, it was reviewed by replay because it was a change of possession because it went, you know, fourth down. They didn't make it,
that's right.
The ball went over. And so that made it an automatic reviewable play by replay. So obviously they, you know, they looked at it and didn't feel like that they had, you know, a shot that showed, you know, that the ball actually did reach the line. I was surprised also that they didn't make it.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was a bad call. Again, I thought Joe Brady, that was not the short yardage calls at the goal line, and they were not very creative. It's just, you know, come on, man, just. Do something. Just you got a great quarterback like that. You know, bootleg him out and just let him have the chance to run.
Everybody knew if he was going to run a quarterback sneak, what he was going to do. I mean, they call that, you know, that he was going to run off the left side, and he did it every time.
Yep. Let's talk about
that's what you want for the defense, isn't it? If you're playing defense,
sure.
You know what the play is going to be.
You betcha. Let's talk about the what should have been an interception. You guys remember the play where? Where they both go up forward, and it looks like Buffalo was intercepted. They've got it. Comes down. The ball hits the ground. The tip of it does.
I thought it should have been incomplete.
Well, you could certainly make – that's why – Walt, tell us what the correct call should have been.
You should know this rule, David. If two men have a simultaneous catch, if both of them come down with the ball, who gets the ball?
But I thought the defense had a better feel on it.
The defense had it first.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It doesn't matter. I mean, because the catch wasn't complete until it came down to the ground. So and what I had was the both guys basically had the ball. The ball was possessed by both of the guys. The tip of the ball hit the ground. The ball didn't move.
Okay.
See, I thought it did move in the replay.
You said it didn't?
I didn't think the ball moved. So it made it a catch by both players, so the ball goes to the offense.
Again, another call, you're that close, you know, to making a play that could change the outcome of the game. Of course, then you go back, you know, the Buffalo comes back and it has a chance to catch that ball in the last play. It goes right through the guy's arms. But, that was a crucial play. That was a big completion for them that really easily could have been either an incomplete or an interception that goes their way. A lot of people think, Walt, that looks like for some whatever reason that Kansas City gets all the calls.
You know, I know everybody's saying that, David, but I mean, you know, they all went to replay, which means New York got involved. I mean, you know, I think from an NFL standpoint, they would probably have preferred Buffalo to win the game, a different team, more excitement. They're talking about, you know, right now they're talking about that they're they.
Oh, I totally
nobody's
disagree.
Nobody's interested in the Super Bowl because Kansas City's been there so many times. Tickets to the Super Bowl have gone down and cut in half the price. Nobody's going to want to watch the game.
Well, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Jason.
I was just saying
Buffalo had won.
You honestly believe they would rather have Buffalo in there than have the opportunity for the biggest names on the biggest team of the decade at this point, really, be going for a three-peat, which is never done in NFL history?
Yeah,
I disagree with you.
I think because the people who watch the Super Bowl is so much bigger that, you know, when you have 116 million people that are watching, you have so many people that don't watch that much NFL, they would prefer to have a different team. I mean, you know, they're saying that the Super Bowl tickets right now are going for $4,600, and last year for the game they were $7,000.
Interesting.
So, you know, I don't know. I don't believe any of that stuff. I believe it's just the way the game flows. I mean, you know, people fumble the ball, you know, for Washington. I mean, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. Too many. Yeah,
yeah. Let me be. Just to be clear, I'm not suggesting that they made any calls to do that. I just personally think if you gave them truth serum and said which one you want in there, it's 100% in my opinion the Chiefs. You got Taylor Swift. You got I just
from an NFL standpoint. Yeah,
from an NFL standpoint, yeah. I don't think it affected any calls. I'm not suggesting that, but
I think so too.
I don't think for a second they would rather have the Bills in there. But that's just my opinion.
It is amazing.
You want the three-peat opportunity.
Yeah, it is amazing they've got that chance, Walt. Again,
first team in NFL history has
never,
in
the history of this league has this happened, and I didn't believe it would happen. The way they played this year, Walt, they were, struggling to get wins, but they were finding ways to win. And that Patrick Mahomes, nobody's been better in closer games.
I picked Buffalo in the game for that reason, David.
Yeah,
I just figured their luck had to run out.
And it came close. It came close.
They still have number 15.
Two things before we let you go. I want to apologize to Steve Strasley, the principal at Catholic. I just misread his deal about the young man who was Jonah Monroe, the Catholic High class of 97. He said, just to let you know where he's at now, he said he went to the University of Arkansas where he earned a master's degree in electrical engineering, lives in Baltimore, and works at Northrop Grumman as an engineer in modeling, simulation, and analysis. Smart kid. So that's the guy, Jonah Monroe, right. Now living in Cabot. All right, do you have time for you make the call, Walt?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Raj, here we go.
Sigma Supply Packaging Products presents You Make the Call.
All right, we've talked so much about it came up with this one play in the Washington game with Philly was a palpably unfair act. That was something that I practiced all the time to be able to say palpably on the microphone.
Yes.
If that ever happened to me, thank God we never had one of those penalties. So what I want somebody to tell me is, because this play in the Washington was not a powerfully unfair act. It has its own place in the rule book. So what is the penalty for a palpably unfair act?
All right, 661-1037. We'll allow us on the show to give what we think the answer. Don't give us whether it's right or wrong, and we'll see if a listener can do it.
You make the call.
Josh, do we have anything to give away? We're just going to give a pat on the back.
Cake tickets.
Okay, cake tickets, and then we'll give you a pat on the back, too. So what is the call? What is the penalty
for a
palpably unfair act or palpably unfair play? What is the penalty? Would it be – now, are you applying it to that situation that we saw in that game?
He's not on the line.
Oh, I forgot. Sorry.
He literally just said hung up on
the wall. I was trying to talk through my deal, Justin. I forgot he said that. Shut up. Justin not miss anything? He doesn't miss anything.
We just heard what's rumbling around in his head.
Yeah, I was trying to get through palpably unfair.
That's the conversation going on right now.
Exactly. There he is. Let's get him back on there.
I'll let Walter, Josh do it so I don't make a mistake here. Hold on.
Walter, are you there?
No, not yet.
Oh, he's calling now. 661-1037. We've already got Amy and
Amy
Jared.
And Gerard.
By the way, too, still looking. More people are starting to submit candidates for the Clergy Bowl next week, by the way. So just
submit
those. Yeah.
You want to get Amy on the line,
So, Walt, the question is, are you applying this question to the end of the game scenario that we saw this week or any place on the field?
I think it would be called a palpably unfair act because that is not considered a palpably unfair act, what happened there. Other things are considered a palpably unfair act. So what is the penalty? Because the interesting thing, David, is the invention or the need for a palpably unfair act was created by official that's in the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow.
Okay, does it? So it doesn't matter if this ball is on the 1 yard line or the 50.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter
where the ball is.
I'll say it is loss of down and timeout.
Yeah, don't tell us the answer, Walt. Let's see if we'll make our suggestion for the caller and they can agree with us or not. What do you think, Justin?
I don't have a clue. I don't even know what to guess, to be
okay,
honest.
No, not okay, lost okay, it down. It's okay, lost it down. Your team loses a timeout.
Well, so that's all you, all that.
Yeah, because lost it down, you can't, because if you're the defense. This is only called on the defense. Is that right, Walt?
No.
Okay, all right. Then loss of down and or loss of timeout.
Well, I thought the penalty was you could give points, and so I
No, he just said it doesn't matter if it's on the 1 or the 50, so it doesn't matter where the ball is.
Well, that's...
Couldn't this be applied like any situation where one side's trying to take some kind of advantage clockwise?
Yeah, but if you're on the 50, you're not going to get...
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
My answer stays.
So I'm going to say you award points even on the 50.
What kind of points?
And you say, Josh...
I feel like that Stooges episode where I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Josh, you got anything? You want to leave it at that? All right, so let's go to the phone lines and see what we got.
Bess just looked at me. I was about to say something.
I thought you were shaking your head. No.
Amy, are you there?
Yes.
You make the call.
What you got?
Offender may be disqualified.
A what? Defender?
Or the offender.
Oh, the offender. Okay.
That is part of the penalty, yeah.
Well, give us a little more, Amy.
Anything else, Amy?
May be disqualified and they are given a score or a touchdown.
Walt, you were some reason we're losing you in the front end of your when you start talking. So say it again, Walt.
Well, I mean, Amy's got kind of the ruling, the options that you have.
Let's give it to her, Walt.
what is the answer, Walt?
The answer is the referee can assign
Sounds
or
like
penalize to anything he wants to do.
What?
The referee has the authority.
Yes.
Whatever he wants to do.
Okay.
If you have a palpable, that's right. Normally, like a player
could he end the game?
I was actually wondering, Roger, what is, just end the game.
What, could he end the game?
Sounds like John Anderson.
I'd like to throw a palpably inexcusable on this bit today.
This phone call. You just keep fading in and out, Walt, for some reason. So let's see if we can get a complete sentence before you fade.
Stop moving.
The referee gets to decide and can do any kind of penalty he wants to, including awarding a score.
So
if you have disqualified a player, could mark yardage off any distance he wants.
So if he's like, I'm just feeling 30 yards right now, he can do
He can do
I'm
going to
give him 30 yards, an extra timeout.
Or 6 points.
And free dinner at Corky's.
here's what happened that created the palpable rule. Cotton Bowl, back in the 1950s, against TCU and Alabama. Dickie Mabel was running for a touchdown. Tommy Lewis from Alabama comes off the bench and tackles Dickie Mabel to keep him from scoring a touchdown.
Is that
Cliff
right?
Shaw, a member of the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame, was the referee in the game. He made the decision, which was not in the rule book, to award TCU a touchdown. And the next year, the palpably unfair act became part of the NCAA rule book.
Is that used in high school, college, and football, and pro?
Yes, that is at every level of football.
Okay. Is that like when Mike Tomlin, I forgot who he tripped?
Yes, that could have been that,
Was that rule used when Mike Tomlin tripped the Ravens player? I think it was Ravens.
That rule could have been used in that particular instance. And, you know, you have to decide whether you think it would have been a touchdown and somebody would have tackled him, say, give him 40 yards or whatever.
I mean, they didn't say that, though. But they didn't say that at the time.
Is the alternative unsportsmanlike conduct? Is that the alternative in a situation like Mike Tomlin's?
Yes, him being on the field for unsportsmanlike conduct.
Go ahead, Justin.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, when he said the official can do literally anything they want. I mean, if I was an official, I'd have some fun with this. I'm thinking like, all right, it's on the we're going to call this on the Patriots. What we're going to do is Tim Tebow. We're going to have you swap jerseys with Tom Brady. He's now playing for the Broncos.
You have to live with whatever you decide when you're talking about it after the game.
Well, Amy was right, because
she could swap teams.
She could have said anything.
That's right.
Because she said
She just said, yeah, that's
absolutely. So
how about that?
Role.
We've been watching football.
Let's give Amy that prize if she wants it.
We've been watching football for 50 years, all of our lives, and we've never heard that. And that's fascinating to me, Walt, that you knew it. Hey, do you like the Tuck Rule? Nobody else might have knew about the Tuck Rule, but somebody did. Walt Coleman.
And when you're a Hall of Famer,
it changed the history of the NFL, Walt Coleman, because you knew the rule.
That's exactly
how about that?
Walt?
Of course, that's what you're supposed to know, all the stupid rules there. Walt, nobody else knows.
Walt, before you go, we want you to play.
What's that bulge in his pocket?
Do you have anything that you carry around from your dad or maybe from your days as a high school referee or anything like that that you keep in your pocket for sentimental reasons? Good luck, any of that sort of thing?
No, but when I was officiating, the coin that I tossed for the coin toss was a silver dollar that my dad gave me back a long time ago that he used as far as his coin that he flipped. So, yeah,
where's that coin today?
It's in. I have a thing that I have a whole bunch of coins and things that I was given to by NFL people and that kind of stuff. A display box. My flipping coin that I had in for my NFC Championship game that had two heads, my two-headed coin
Okay, yeah. I got you. Well, listen, thanks for playing.
What's that bulge in his pocket?
All right, Walt, have a great – are you back in town next week?
Yes, I'll be back in town next week.
All right, Walt. All right, if we're not in office, we'll let you know.
We'll be talking about the Super Bowl next week.
Guys.
Yeah, great
Thank
stuff.
Thank you, Walter. Appreciate you.
Sigma Supply.
I'm not going to hang up on anybody, so I don't want to screw up
Josh. Well, I tell you,
that
phone deal, man, was weird. It just, he would, the first 5 seconds of what he was saying would just, it just sounded like John Anderson. That is a good, it does. It did sound like that.
It really did.
Yeah, it did. All right, don't go away. It's 8:30 here, Morning Mayhem.